The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back. And so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Daniel Jones. You understand that was going to be one of the most spectacular plays in the history of Giants football? You ever see a quarterback make a run like that for the Giants? Or as Gettleman would say, a quarterback make a run like that for the Giants? Raj, that was about to be one of the great plays in the history of Giants football. And as it turns out, it was even better.
Yes, it was better. Was it worse than the butt fumble?
No. No. You ever notice how when you see the bloopers of the guys running and just falling down, it's white dudes? You ever notice that?
I wasn't going to say nothing, but yeah, I have noticed.
By the way, I think there is something to that. You know, you want to know what I think it is? I think that the stereotype is that white guys can't run fast. And people are aware of this stereotype. People, like, it's out there. You know, it's not like you can ignore it. It's in your unconscious, even if it's not in your conscious, right? Some dudes just may not care. Like, Christian McCaffrey doesn't seem to care. Like, a stereotype, whatever. He's out. But I do think it's out there, and I think sometimes in the open field like that, it may get to a player unconsciously, like, I have to do a little more. No, he didn't. Daniel Jones just keep running. Daniel Jones is fast. But it looked like about 10 or 15 yards before he tripped, he thought he had to turn on some extra afterburners. He didn't. He was going to score. And then when he lost control. Stereotypes, see? They're destructive things, Raj. Look at this.
Yeah.
He's out! We're watching it right now on ESPN News for our simulcast. And then right around the 25, the 28 maybe, the Giants 28, it looks like you can even see it in, like, he's running, he's in stride, he's just running fast. He's a very fast, he's probably the second fast quarterback behind Lamar Jackson, right? And then right around the 30, the 28, it looks like he feels like, I got to do a little bit more. And fell. Daniel Jones. I feel like Felix Unger in The Odd Couple. Oscar. Daniel. At least he didn't cough the ball up.
No.
Right? Like, he has a fumbling problem. At least he just tripped and they scored a touchdown on that drive. By the way, there are shots of the Giants on the sideline cracking up. Like, Giants players cracking up. But you've seen the stats by now, I'm sure, of the fastest, of the top speeds that a quarterback has attained this year, other than Lamar Jackson, who's just the fastest quarterback ever, right? Most of the top speeds are by Daniel Jones. He's really fast. He does not need to do extra. The only extra thing he needs to do is hold on to that football. Hold on to that football, Daniel.
Yeah. Max, look, I know you lost, and I know you're feeling down. Your Giants lost another game, but you're not looking at the bright side. Hit it, Chris. Hit it. All right. You're moving on up in the draft, man. You're this close to Trevor Lawrence. You are moving on up in the world, Max. You got to look
right
at the bright side. This is the other side. You are moving up those.
I'm walking around like
hold you guys back.
I'm walking around like George Jefferson. I'm walking around like George Jefferson right now with my chest out.
Max, your Giants snatched defeat from the jaws of victory last night. You're moving on up, but you're going to be all right come draft time.
I don't know. The Jets. The Jets are going to ruin Trevor Lawrence instead of the Giants. One of these New York teams is going to ruin Trevor Lawrence. By the way, I'm going to get to it later in the show, but what is going on in New York sports? It is, how did we become a laughingstock? Only the Yankees are holding it down, and even they. Well, I'll get to that later. I actually want to talk about Carson Wentz. Um, had a little carbonated water before the show. Excuse me, Raj. That's better. You can't burp on the air. Then because Howard Stern already cornered the market on that. But you know, Raj, let me tell you something. We started First Take today by asking me, what do I think of Carson Wentz? Am I impressed this morning? And you know what I said?
Yeah.
You know what I said?
I thought you were finally going to say yes. Yeah.
No, I said the truth, which is I felt exactly this morning, and I feel right now, the way I felt about Carson Wentz over the last going on a year now, whatever it is, 8, 10 months. Could have had a baby in the time. You know, the last time Carson Wentz impressed me, someone could have carried the full term. It's been a long time since Carson Wentz was actually good. So I just want to say, I don't question his toughness, and I never have. He's tough as nails. I was in L.A. for that game, the Coliseum, when he played four plays with a destroyed leg, basically. You know, you're supposed to be in the hospital, and he had at least two completions. He's tough as nails, and he wants to be great. Maybe a little too much. Or maybe he doesn't have enough discipline to be great. But I thought he was the MVP of the league a couple years ago through 14 or 15 weeks. Then he got hurt. Nick Foles won the Super Bowl. Then the following year, they were going nowhere with Carson Wentz. That was a 500 team with Carson Wentz. Out of the playoff picture. Nick Foles took over. The team caught fire. And they won a playoff game at Soldier Field. A lot of people were taking the Bears to come out of the NFC. Nick Foles beat the Bears at Soldier Field very nearly. Beat the Saints at New Orleans. Receiver dropped the ball. Or didn't turn around. Anyway, the point is, it's been a while for Carson Wentz. But as I said on First Take today, unlike Baker Mayfield, where it's like the worst thing you can say about a guy is, I don't really care that much anymore. I don't care that much anymore about Baker. Because when he said, I know I could be better, a lot better, he could be better. I don't know about a lot better. I don't think that Baker Mayfield has upper-end elite kind of talent or potential. But I think Carson Wentz does. That's why I'm hard on him. Do I hate him and the Eagles because I'm a Giants fan? Well, of course, they are my sports enemies. Along with Dave Roberts and a whole bunch of other people I can mention. How dare he steal that base against the Yankees in 04. However, Carson Wentz, I acknowledge, like, the reality. He's extremely talented. The throw to Boston Scott was totally elite. He makes one of those throws a game. He's good for one. Whoa, was that Patrick Mahomes? A game. He has three or four other good plays a game. The rest are bad decisions and bad execution. Yesterday was more of the same. If Evan Engram holds on to the ball, the Eagles lose. But it's more than that. Listen to this. First quarter. I took notes on the game. So I wanted to match up some video on First Take in case Orlovsky was on, but he wasn't today. First quarter, Eagles are already up 7-0, all right? It's 3rd and 9 from their own 12. Wentz gets phenomenal protection and then holds the ball forever. He holds the ball, ready for this, for 7 seconds. Does he throw it away? You think Wentz threw it away? No. He takes a sack inside the 5-yard line. That can't happen. And this is followed up by a lousy punt. The Giants start their drive on the Eagles 39. One play later, 39-yard touchdown for Golden Tate. Game's tied. That is a direct result of Carson Wentz's mistake. Now, unlike him leading the league in turnovers, those are stats you can point to. Unlike Carson Wentz being outplayed according to quarterback rating, it's a clumsy metric, but it's a metric that gives you a kind of decent framework. He's been outplayed by the other team's quarterbacks, because it's not always just the starter he's playing against, in every single game this season. Think about that. Now, this is against a terrible one-win Giants team. Unlike him leading the league in turnovers and being outplayed by every quarterback according to quarterback rating, or every team according to quarterback rating this year, it's the type of play that I just outlined by Carson Wentz. It's like a backbreaker that doesn't show up in the box score. Like, as bad as his stats are like that in terms of turnovers, in Eagles territory, by the way, what is it now, 9 in 7 games? As bad as those stats are, they're not even as bad as the reality. It's situational football he's struggling in. Okay, let me go back to my notes. End of the first quarter. Okay, so what I just said was bad enough. It's a tie game, right? Against the Giants. Not like they have a great offense. No offensive line. Andrew Thomas might wind up being good, but tackle is really a skills position. It takes guys a while to learn it, and he ain't there yet. He's a rookie. He's getting abused, targeted and abused. So they don't have pass protection. They don't have run blocking. They don't have Saquon Barkley. They don't have Odell Beckham, right? They don't have dynamic playmakers. Evan Ingram can't catch. End of the first quarter, first and 10 from the Giants' 30. Wentz again holds the ball. He refuses to get rid of it until he's in the grasp and he takes an intentional grounding penalty. So he loses 16 yards altogether on the play. Why? Why does he do it? He doesn't need to be a hero every play. Then right after the Mills interception, Wentz runs backwards over 20 yards. Then he, remember this? He heaves a jump ball for some reason across his body and nearly the entire field. Why? What is he doing? It's inexplicable. Okay, so same drive. Okay, this was the same drive. He rolls left. To his left and throws another like bizarre red zone interception. And the reason I say bizarre is because it had no, when he made the decision to make the attempt, it had no chance at a positive outcome. Why'd he do it? And the shovel pass into the receiver's back while being sacked. Multiple empty trips inside the red zone. Like, I could go on. Was that an impressive performance? Understand, it's the 1-6 Giants. And even then, with all the breaks the Eagles caught, if Ingram holds on to the ball, the game's over anyway. No, I don't feel any differently about Wentz this morning. Same as always. He has elite talent. He's good for one great Mahomes-level throw a game. He's good for three or four other good plays, and then nothing but questionable decision-making and poor execution. 888-SAY-ESPN. That was Straight Talk Wireless. Not because I hate the Eagles, which I do, that I'm telling you this. It's because I expect a lot from Wentz, who is a mid-pack quarterback. He's an average starting NFL quarterback when he should be elite. Anyway, everything for less, Straight Talk Wireless, only at Walmart. Daniel Cormier, former UFC champ, joins me now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Raj wrote, I just wanted to tell you something, Daniel. Raj, my producer, writes, former UFC champ. That's damning him with faint praise, Raj. Daniel Cormier is one of the greats. He's one of the all-time greats. Right or wrong, Daniel?
I am one of the all-time greats. I work hard for that. So come on, Raj. Don't do me like that.
He did you like that. Former UFC champ. what's that like? That's like Mariano Rivera, former relief pitcher for the Yankees. Raj, yeah, how yeah. What else do you want to say about that? Yeah?
Our Max, former Olympian. Like, no, yeah. It doesn't work like that.
Jesse Owens, former Olympian. Daniel Cormier. All right, listen. First, I want to start by asking you about details because that way I get out of the way the plug. You know what I mean? You get to plug whatever you want, and then I want to get into the fight. Can we do it that way?
Okay.
I don't know if you've ever seen Annie Hall, sure. but Woody Allen says to Diane Keaton when they're walking home, he goes, "Let's kiss now," and we get it out of the way, and that way we can digest our food better, right? Like we could. So let's just get that part out of the way now. Not that I don't want to hear about it, I do, but I really want to talk to you about the big fight. Tell me about details.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I do detail on ESPN Plus, and I go and I break down the fights and the fighters, as you've seen Kobe and everybody do in the NBA. Now, this week, I did Justin Gaethje because as he gets ready for this big moment, I wanted to kind of shine the light on him and some of his greatest performances. And Matt, when you talk about a guy that is dangerous as dangerous can be and a guy that has ultimate belief, you're talking about Justin Gaethje. He is not afraid. He is not overwhelmed. And as I watched his performances, as I watched him as I did the detail, I was even more impressed and honestly, as a teammate of Khabib, more concerned as to the type of problems that this man may provide the champion.
Look, styles make fights in the UFC and boxing. Styles make fights. And just because Gaethje loses to Poirier, who's going to fight Khabib, who could, you know, like, et cetera, it doesn't mean, it's not by syllogism, A, B, C, and therefore C beats A. It doesn't work that way. Gaethje, to me, does present the challenge. And let me tell you why, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong, and explain it to me a little bit. Here's the analogy I'll use. If you host a show on TV, okay, there is no difficult part of that. Every single part of hosting is easy. It's straightforward, right? If you've worked with really great hosts, and I have, Bob Costas, Jim Lampley, Brian Kenny, I've worked with very smooth hosts who can do a live event, listen, answer, set up commercials, teases, ask questions, interview, set up the analyst. It's the orchestration. It's those in-between spots where you're using different parts of your brain and the integration of all those things that makes a great, like, TV host, let's say. Okay. When I watch Gaethje, he's a wrestler, really. That's his background. But his striking is devastating, and he can negotiate those in-between distances. Like when you're going from striking to wrestling, he has good mastery of that, and it makes him very difficult. Explain to me if I made any sense at all just then. I don't hold myself out as an MMA expert.
No, you did, right? Because when you watch a Justin Gaethje match, the problem with trying to corner him and figure out a plan of approach is that he's never where you're supposed to be. So when he fought Tony Ferguson, who had won 12 fights in a row, was scheduled to fight Khabib, he dominated him because he was never where he was. He managed all those empty spaces, right? There are moments in the fight where you either get lost or you kind of live and thrive in those moments. And Justin Gaethje does that. He always says that he creates chaos because he excels in it. But with Khabib, he has to create chaos. He has to make the fight not feel too similar. If the fight feels similar to what Khabib is used to, that means that he's taking people down, he's dominating you, and he's beating you up on the ground. But if it's unfamiliar, if it's ugly, if it's dirty, that means that Justin is spending a lot of time on his feet. He's cutting a ton of angles, being elusive, being evasive, and making Khabib fight where he's uncomfortable. You make absolute sense.
I'm so glad to know.
It resembles what you master in. The fight game is the fight game, right? I love your show, the name of the show. But the fight game, the name is the fight game. It is what it is. Like, when you put a guy like Justin Gaethje that can use that wrestling in reverse, like Chuck Liddell was the one that first wrestled in reverse. Mm-hmm. And Justin,
when you say wrestled in reverse, you mean, do you mean, because this is what Gaethje told us on First Take the other day, do you mean that he uses his wrestling to keep the fight standing up? Is that what you mean by wrestles in reverse?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Max, because Khabib wants to take you down, right? It's sprawl and brawl. Gaethje sprawls, he makes you pay when you take shots, and then he gets back to where he wants to fight, spending the vast majority of his fight on the feet. And
now that,
you know, he holds an advantage there.
That said about Gaethje, who has real good punching power, I read up, I think it was like Wikipedia, his father was an amateur boxer in the military, I think, and my uncle boxed in the military, I don't know. That didn't mean anything. But for some reason, for Justin Gaethje, he has tremendous power. At any rate, he has things going for him, including the wrestling, and he's upset the odds before against Ferguson, for example. But the thing when I look at Khabib, and a lot of MMA people gave me a lot of stuff for saying this, I think he has a chance to be the best ever. And I mean pound for pound. And this is why. I know he hasn't fought enough guys on the resume the way, like, Anderson Silva or John Jones, has. But I've been watching UFC since UFC 1, since before Zuffa, Daniel. And early on, it was pretty clear. BJJ and wrestling. If that was your foundation, like you were, you know, you could build on that, right? Then the American wrestlers who could stay out of submission holds and start striking and ground and pound and all that. Khabib, whose basis is obviously on the ground, is so physically strong. You know, at a certain point, technique is technique, and everyone has it. So he has masterful technique, mm-hmm. but he's so physically strong that and he's in his prime right now. Since that's what the basis of his game is, I feel like it gives him an advantage. It's like if, you know, the thing he has naturally plays into the thing he's learned wrestling perfectly.
Yeah, they go hand in hand, you know. I grabbed him in the gym before, Max, and I was like, I'm a heavyweight, 205 pounder, so every time these little guys jump on me, I kind of just decide when I'm going to get away, and I just kind of push and throw them off me. Well, one time I'm doing this to Habib, right, and I'm like, oh, now it's time for me to get up. And I went to get up and realized I wasn't moving. I had to start going hard. I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm having to give this dude some real effort to get away. No 55 pounder, no lightweight should feel that strong and have such a strong understanding of how to manipulate and maneuver his opponents. You saw it in the McGregor fight, and Conor was brave, right? Conor fought. He went out on the shoot. He fought as hard as he could, but he was outmatched. Dustin Poirier fought as hard as he could, and he was just outmatched because the moment you can bring in guys, Max, right? So this is what we do. We try to replicate what we're going to see in the fight. I'm sure it's like that in boxing. You bring a guy.
Of course.
You're going to fight a guy like Floyd Mayweather. You bring a guy that tries to fight like Mayweather. But until you get in there with Floyd Mayweather, you don't understand what you're up against.
Hardest guys to prepare for. Hardest guys to prepare for are the supernaturally talented guys because you can't imitate them in sparring. How do you do it?
You can't imitate, Max, you can't. So they bring in all these wrestlers, right? And these wrestlers are trying to take him down. But then the moment he grabs him, it's like, wow, I was getting taken down by these masterful wrestlers, but this guy just feels different. And you really can't put your finger on it and describe what it is that makes him so different. And a lot of it is his physical strength and his mental capacity.
Daniel, as usual, I'm heavy on the segment, as they say in the business. So real quick, obviously, yes. Habib is the favorite. Who's your pick?
Oh, I can't pick because I'm calling the fight, Max.
By the way, that's the right answer.
Sensitive people in the world, mm-hmm. the most sensitive people in the world are fighters. So me not being able to pick fights anymore saves me a ton of friendship.
And not only that, but to avoid the appearance of favoritism, whether or not it exists, if you're calling the fight, you should not make a prediction. I agree. The great Daniel Cormier, ladies and gentlemen, one of the all-time greats, unlike Raj, says, oh, former UFC fighter. He's one of the all-time greats, Raj.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Also brought to you by Shell. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson says that Antonio Brown has taken the right steps for his return. Russell Wilson answered reporters' questions about AB a day after ESPN's Adam Schefter reported that the Seahawks are positioned to make a push to sign Antonio Brown with his suspension eligible to end after Week 8. Russell Wilson had previously lobbied for his team to sign Antonio Brown. Well, let's listen to what Russell Wilson has to say, and then I'll make some comments. Go ahead, Roger.
You know, the reality is with Antonio, he's had some tough moments in his life, you know, especially as of late. And I think that he's gone through a lot of things that he wishes he could take back and do and just, you know, not say or whatever it may be. But I think that he's, a special player for sure. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with him or not. I don't know if it's how serious it is, us getting him or not. But I do know that, and obviously he can play some football. And
in the history of the NFL, in terms of the numbers, in my lifetime, there was Jerry Rice, who remains the greatest of all time. By the way, people forget now because Tom Brady won 6 Super Bowls. But there were decades, where everyone would say kind of like, there's never really been a GOAT in the NFL, right? The NFL has never really had a greatest because, it's broken down to positions and the nature of the sport is no one can dominate it the way someone can in the NBA, let's say. And some people say, what about Johnny Unitas or Jim Brown? But that occurred before the modern game. Maybe Jim Brown a little less so, but for decades, the best answer most people gave was Jerry Rice. You know, some people would say, who's the greatest overall football player you ever saw? And I would say Lawrence Taylor, or someone might tell you Walter Payton. But Jerry Rice was the guy, like, had the long, of all the great receivers, had the longest career and also the highest peak and maintained it for the longest and won the most Super Bowls. Like, he was just crazy. He's not in a class by himself. Randy Moss came along and, in my view, underachieved. He's the second greatest of all time, right? Had seasons with like 23 touchdown catches. It's just insane. Antonio Brown was like the next guy to come along to put up consistently eye-popping numbers like that. Not quite Jerry Rice or Randy Moss, but Antonio Brown had five different years that could fit comfortably into those guys' career, and you just like look, you go, oh yeah, that looks like a Randy Moss or a Jerry Rice year. He seemed to be in the middle of that when he totally imploded. So assuming he's physically okay, what quarterback wouldn't want to throw to him? People have brought it up a lot. Stephen A. made an issue of it. Ryan Clark referenced it today. Or someone else did. Tom Brady. Think about the things AB's been accused of. Tom Brady was like, yeah, come live with me. He really wanted AB as a receiver last year. One of the best who ever did it. Of course there's interest in him. And by the way, does he deserve another chance if he serves his suspension and he's not found guilty of charges brought against him? Sure. But that's different than saying, like, do I think he'll help a team while he's on the field? I think he'll help any team ever while he's on the field. I don't think there's a team he wouldn't have helped ever created while he's on the field. I just don't think he'll stay on the field very long. I think he'll, as he gains leverage and feels more powerful, then the behavior will start to spill out again, and he'll get himself, you know, he'll isolate himself again. He'll lose his job again. I hope I'm wrong. 888-SAY-ESPN. What a state New York sports are in right now. I'm so depressed about it. Like, the Mets are a joke. The Jets are a joke. And those franchises usually are, you know? Those are the clown franchises. In a major metropolis like New York City, every sport has, like, two franchises, at least, usually. Giants and Jets, heritage franchise, clown franchise. Yankees and Mets, heritage clown franchise. Knicks and Nets. Well, that's changed a little, hasn't it? Because for years, the Knicks were running unopposed. They were the heritage franchise and the clown franchise. Now the Nets are in town. They're in Brooklyn. They're not the heritage franchise. But the Knicks are certainly the clown franchise, and the Nets have high hopes. The Nets are the team to root for if you live in New York now. Knicks can't get away with just putting any old garbage product, as they normally do, on the court and just figure, well, we have a captive audience. Like, if you live in New York, who else are you going to root for? Nets are in Jersey. Nets are in Brooklyn, brother. Meantime, the Giants and Jets are both pathetic. They made a bad hire with Gettleman, obviously. Here's the Giants' problem. The Jets are usually a laughingstock, but here's the Giants' problem. The mighty Giants, my beloved New York football Giants. They are reflexively conservative. It's fine in football, you have a conservative mentality, like when Tomlin was hired by the Steelers. Run the ball, stop the run. I don't care how much things have changed, like Bill Parcells. I know my way is proven. This fancy stuff Bill Walsh is trying out in San Francisco, even though it worked even better than the Giants stuff. But that's fine. I'm not saying it can't be done the old school way. But the Giants are reflexively conservative. They get, a guy gives them the feeling, the marif, or whomever. This guy is right, gives us that sense of the old timey thing, and they think that's the way to go. What did Gettleman ever do to make them think he was the guy? And I know I got to go to break. I'll just end by saying this: the Yankees are the ones keeping it, you know, holding it down for New York City, and the problem is Cashman for too many years was too scared, didn't have the nerve to pull the trigger. Because it was too expensive, both in terms of what the money would be and what it would cost in prospects to bring in a real ace like Justin Verlander or Gerrit Cole originally. and the Yankees paid the price. You only have so many bites at the apple. And they squandered. They had three teams probably so far before this year that might have won a World Series where in recent years where he said, nah, let's not make the move for the ace. And so they didn't win the World Series. Had they had Verlander or Cole, I'm telling you right now, they probably won at least one, maybe two of the last three World Series. And then this year they signed Cole and he pitched really well. It just didn't work out because it's not going to work out every year.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think of these.
No doubt.
Woo! Max, I like this. On Fridays, you know, we mix it up. You only got two things to say, but we're going gambling edition. All right, no check it out. Let's start with the heavyweight bout. The last of AFC's undefeated teams, the 5-0 Steelers, take on the 5-0 Titans. Titans are favored by one, so basically it's a pick 'em. Max, the Titans should be favored to win this game.
No doubt, like it is, by the slimmest of margins. I think the Steelers have a great defense. The Titans have an uneven defense. Looks great one week against Buffalo, looks bad another week against Houston. But the Steelers have a special defense. Normally I go with that team. Here's why I like the Titans. I love fastball pitcher against fastball hitter, right? Unless it's Gossage pitching to George Brett. That traumatized me a little bit. But country hardball. We got a running back. Yeah, we got a run defense. So now it's up to the quarterback to beat him. I think Tannehill can do it. Tannehill, I believe, is a top 10 NFL quarterback, and I like him to beat the Steelers in a great game.
All right. Okay, let's move it on. Let's move it on to 3-3 49ers. Last year's NFC representatives for the Super Bowl. Take on the 2-3 Pats. So Cam and Belichick, they get to see the one that got away, Jimmy G. Pats are 2-point faves. Is that right?
No doubt.
No doubt.
I don't see. Look, here's what's on the line in this game. Is it Belichick or Brady? What was it more? That's one of the great. And anyone who thinks that Belichick and Brady weren't thinking the same thing is out of their minds. You think you get to be the greatest of all time without a huge ego? Just because they work hard and pay attention to detail, you think that doesn't mean they have egos? Of course they do. And Brady fixed it so that Belichick's cabinet would be bare when he left. He had Jimmy G. That was the succession plan. Dealt out of town. So then Brady puts himself in a lovely spot, right? The Bucs, really good defense, ascending team, offensive weapons everywhere. They'd have been at least 9-7 with a quarterback who just didn't turn the ball over a lot like Jameis Winston. And if you give them a premium over that, there's 10 wins and maybe even get to the NFC Championship game. Who knows? And even so, I think it's more Belichick. And he has Cam Newton. But if he goes to 2-4 on the season, I'm not trying to hear excuses. Because there were no excuses when Brady was your quarterback. And Cam is good. So I say, no doubt, Pat should be favored. I like them to win.
Okay, rapid fire on these. 30 seconds about. All right, the 5-0 Seahawks take on the 4-2 Cards on Sunday Night Football. Seattle, 3.5-point phase. But the other question is, will they remain undefeated?
No doubt. No doubt. Look, divisional games are tough. The Arizona Cardinals have shown you they can beat you even without their A game. They have talent. But go ahead, turn it into a shootout. What did Casey Joyner just say? That favors the lesser team nowadays, unless that lesser team is the Seattle Seahawks. They win the shootouts too. I like Russell Wilson to get it done.
All right. And real quick, the Bears, 5-1 Bears are at the 4-2 Rams. But get this, the Rams are 6-point faves. Vegas blew it, Max.
No doubt. I'm taking the Bears in an outright upset, just like I took them against the Bucks. I think the Bears have an underperforming defense capable of being elite. I think they have a quarterback who comes through in the clutch. I think they're very dangerous this year. You impressed by Wentz? I'll tell you if I was coming up.